second good morning. Now, the joy of being able to share it together in English is that it can be more of a conversation that we have and less of a one-way street. So I say this frequently, and hardly anybody ever listens to me when I say it, but I'll say it again. If when I'm speaking, you have a question or something's not clear, put your hand up and say, wait a minute, what did you say? Or ask the question. Because I guarantee you, if anybody is falling asleep next to you, when you ask the question, they'll wake up and they'll actually listen to the answer. So you're doing not just yourself a favor, but everybody else as well. So we have this opportunity to communicate together, to share together. And I'm sharing the scripture, but it's a fellowship that we're having together, a fellowship in the scripture. If we don't learn from the scripture, what are we going to learn from? So it's so important that we listen and learn, and it's for everybody. So we've got a range of ages here, but everybody's included. Who's the youngest here? I know who's the oldest. I won't ask who's the oldest. Who's the youngest? Are you the youngest? Well, if you're the youngest, you're included, okay? You're part of this. So if you've got a question, you can ask. Righto? Good. Okay, now, previously when we were speaking in the other meeting, I was reading James. And I'm going to continue to read James because the Word of God is for all of us. And we're reading from James in chapter 2, and where we're up to, if you've been in the other meeting and following, we're up to verse 14. So I'm going to read verse 14 through to the end of the chapter. James chapter 2, verse 14 through to the end of the chapter, verse 26. And it's not going to be on the screen. So the best possible thing you can do is have your Bible with you and have it open and read from it. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, let's pray. Lord, we have this scripture before us, and it is what you have breathed, and it's for us to learn from it and to grow through it. And so, Lord, we pray that as we share it together, that you would use it to speak to us and to encourage us and to strengthen us and to correct us, even to rebuke us and to set us on the right way. Lord, make it so. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So there's two words that keep being repeated in this section that we've read: faith and works. So let's try and understand what's meant by those words. Well, the first one, faith. What is faith? Now, you might have heard me say this once before, but there was a Sunday school class or something, and the teacher asked one of the students, "What's faith?" And the answer was, "Faith is when you believe stuff you really know isn't true." Is that faith? That's not faith. Somebody else said, "Faith is kind of like a blanket you throw over your doubts." Is that faith? That's not faith either. What is faith? Well, faith is a noun. You know what a noun is? Faith is something you can have. But believing, or to believe, is a verb. That's something you do. Faith is the noun. Believe is the verb. Now, if we think about believing, what the thing is, you can't just simply say, "I believe," because the question immediately is, what do you believe? You can't just say, "I believe," and then there's nothing. You have to believe something. So when we talk about faith, we have to say, faith in what? What do you believe? So this is the question. Some people say, "I've got faith," but there's nothing underneath it, or they're very unclear. What do you believe? Enoch, do you have faith? You know what my second question's going to be, don't you? If you say, "Yes, I've got faith," then my question is, faith in what? Or faith in whom? So when James is talking about faith, he expects the people who are reading his letter to know what he's talking about. He's talking about faith in the Lord Jesus, believing in the Lord Jesus. We're not believing nothing. We're believing in somebody. But faith isn't just saying, "Well, Jesus is true. Jesus was a man." It's not saying that even. It's saying much more than that. You know, there's a Bible translation called the Amplified Bible. And the Amplified Bible, it tries to expand. When it translates a word, it puts in brackets after the word what this word means. So every time that it talks about believing, it says in brackets afterwards, "trusts in, clings to, relies upon." You got that? Trusts in, clings to, relies upon. So when it says, "Do you believe in Jesus?" it means, do you trust in Jesus? Do you cling to Jesus? Do you rely upon Jesus? That's what it means. That's what faith is. Trusting in, clinging to, relying on. It's not simply saying, "Oh yes, I think there was a man called Jesus." No, no. It's much more than that. If we say we believe, it means we really trust him. But then you're going to say, trust him for what? You know, if somebody had some, if somebody owed you some money and you said, "I'm trusting them to pay it back," you'd be trusting in their promise to pay it back to you. But when we're trusting in Jesus, what are we trusting in? We're trusting in his promise to forgive our sins. We're trusting in his death being effective to forgive us, to save us from our sins. We're trusting in him. If somebody says to you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Then you could say, I'm trusting in Jesus because he died for me. He rose again. My faith is in him. And if he lets me down, I'm finished. I've got nothing else. I'm trusting in him. He has to fulfill his promise. So this is the word faith. When James is using faith, he's talking about trusting in Jesus, relying upon Jesus, clinging to Jesus, holding on to him, following him, listening to him. And the other word that he uses all through this is works. And by works, he simply means action. What are you doing? Doing something. That's very simple, isn't it? Works is doing something. So let's read what James has got to say. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? So he says, I believe, but he doesn't do anything different because he believes. You get the idea? He says something, but he doesn't do anything. What can it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith? Where's the faith? Oh, it's inside of me. It's what I believe. It's in me. It's what I'm thinking. He says he's got faith, but he doesn't do anything. And James says, can that faith save him? Is that the sort of faith that is real? Is that the sort of faith in the Lord Jesus that leads a person to be saved? And the answer to the question is, I don't think so. You can hear the answer. He doesn't write the answer here, but you know what he's thinking, don't you? What does it profit? What's the good of faith that doesn't do anything? Can that faith save you? And now he gives an example. And this is a really simple example. Everybody gets it. If a brother or a sister is naked, they've got no clothes, they're shivering in the cold, they've only got sort of like a t-shirt on or something and it's freezing, and they come and knock on your door and says, you know, we're cold, we're hungry, can you help us? And you say, depart in peace. God bless you. But you don't give them anything. If a person did that and then said, we love our brothers and sisters, would you believe them? Would you? It'd be empty words, wouldn't it? We said, oh, I love my brothers and sisters, but when they come and knock on my door hungry and cold, I just say, God bless you, and I don't give them anything. I don't give them any food, I don't give them a blanket or anything. Then what sort of love is that? That's empty, empty love. So he says here, look, you can tell, with this little example, you can tell that those words about love are just empty words. They're nothing. And then he says in verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Who wants to have a dead faith? Nobody. A dead faith is a useless faith. We want a living faith, a real faith. And it's a real faith that will save us, not a dead one. So he's making this point very plainly. There must have been people, even at this time, who said they believed, but they didn't do anything. that showed that they believed. Their belief, their faith, was empty. It was meaningless. What if I said to you, I've got an empty bottle of cold water? Would that make sense? Can I give you an empty bottle of cold water? Imagine it's a very hot day and you're perspiring, and I say, it's okay, I've got an empty bottle of cold water for you. That's meaningless. That's useless. What's the point of that? What are you talking about? There's nothing in the bottle. And if we've got faith that's just in our heads, but it never comes to our hands and to our feet, we never do anything because of our faith, then is there faith? I don't think so. But someone will say, you have faith, I have worked. In other words, this person says, faith is one thing, works are another thing. They're separate. James' answer is, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. James' answer is, no. These are not two things. These are one thing. Faith and the effect of faith are the same thing. Faith and the action that faith produces are the same thing. Then he says to these people, you believe that there is one God. Or more strictly, what he said was, you believe that God is one. And he's, remember, if you remember the beginning of James, he's writing to Jewish believers. And these Jewish believers, because of their Judaism, had a very fundamental belief that there is one God. God is one. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. So he says to them, oh, you believe that God is one. Good. The devils also believe that. But at least they shake with fear when they think of God. But you're doing nothing. That's the implication. Imagine being told that the devils are doing better than you. Not a good place to be. They tremble. But these people were simply saying, I believe. But there was nothing beyond that. So James goes on and he says in verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead, or faith without works is useless? And he gives two examples, two very different examples from the scripture, from the Old Testament. The first example is Abraham. And remember, he's writing to Jewish Christians. And the Jewish Christians always look back with great respect to Abraham, because it was to Abraham, from Abraham, that God formed the whole Jewish nation. So he goes back to Abraham and he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And I think we all know that story, don't we? Of Abraham being told by God to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and how Abraham got up early in the morning and went and took his son and was ready to offer him. He kind of laid him on the altar and took the knife and was going to cut his throat when the Lord called him and told him to stop. Now, what James says is, Abraham, our father or our forefather, was justified or made right with God by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or made complete? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, if we've read Genesis carefully, we know that the verse that he's quoted here, Abraham believed God, happened quite a few years before Abraham offered Isaac. A long time before. This verse is from Genesis chapter 15, but Abraham offers Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. So what's he saying? Abraham believed God in Genesis chapter 15. God made him a promise, and the promise was that his children would be so many, they'd be like the number of stars in the sky. And Abraham believed God, and God saw that faith and accounted it for righteousness. Abraham himself was a sinful man, but God counted him righteous because he believed God's promise. But did Abraham have empty faith? Was Abraham's faith just, you know, a shrug of the shoulders and, oh yeah, I suppose, I believe? No, it wasn't. And Abraham proved that his faith wasn't empty. Many years later, he proved it a number of times along the way, but the biggest proof was many years later when he was willing even to offer the son through whom that promise of God would be fulfilled. He was willing to offer that son to God as a sacrifice. So what he's saying is, look, Abraham's faith wasn't empty. It was real. And Abraham demonstrated that a number of times, but particularly he demonstrated it when he was ready to offer up his son Isaac. Now, we could be in the same situation, couldn't we? We can put our trust in the Lord. We can say, I believe in him. And that faith can be very real. But then it's later that something happens where your faith is challenged. And it's tested. Is it real? And you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision about whether or not you will trust God in a certain situation. And that's when we see how real that faith is. This is what happened to Abraham. Was his faith empty? No. Was Abraham talking about an empty bottle of cold water? No. His faith was real. And he proved it again and again and again because of the action that he took. So that's the first example. The second example, very different. Well, let's get to just before we go on, in verse 23, and he was called the friend of God. I find that extraordinary. How would you like that, to be called God's friend? By God. God calls you my friend. He picks you out and says, you're my friend. Wow. This was Abraham. And how did Abraham come to such a blessed place? He believed God. And his faith was not empty. It was real. You see then that a man is justified or right with God by works, not by faith only. And remember what James has said. Works and faith go together. They're kind of the same thing. Because believing means you act. You do something. Now, the second example, verse 25. A very different example. Abraham, the highly respected forefather, the Jewish forefather of the whole nation. Contrast, Rahab, a woman, a Gentile, a prostitute. Goodness, somebody very different from Abraham. But James picks out this woman. Why? Because in this woman also, there's an example of action. Faith that's real. Faith that's not empty. Faith that acts. So he says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? You know the story, how these spies came to Jericho and they went to her house, and when people came looking for them to capture them and probably to kill them, she hid them. And then she allowed them to escape by lowering them down from her house, which was on the wall, through a window, and they could escape. And so when she spoke to those men, after hiding them, and said, I believe that God is with you, they knew that her faith was real. She wasn't pretending, because they'd seen her action. They'd seen what she'd done because she believed. And so he's saying, she's right with God. Why is she right with God? Because she didn't simply say something, but she acted. Her belief was real. So he says, the conclusion, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now in the New Testament, here's a little sort of test we can do. And it's actually very simple. Did you have a question? No. No, you just moved. It's like an auction, you know. If you move, I think you've made a bid. In the New Testament, there's something a little bit similar. We can use this as just an example. In John chapter 3, there's Nicodemus, a highly moral, highly educated Jewish man. And the Lord Jesus speaks to him and speaks about believing. Remember, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, clings to him, relies upon him, will not perish but will be saved, will have everlasting life. Question. Here's the question. Did Nicodemus believe at that point? Jesus spoke to him about believing. Did Nicodemus believe? Is the right answer. We don't know. Why? Because we don't know that Nicodemus did anything. Do we? We can't see. Did he believe? We don't know. Why don't we know? Because we can't see Nicodemus doing anything at that point. Later on, he spoke up a little bit, and then right at the end, he was with Joseph of Arimathea and to give the body of the Lord Jesus an honourable burial. Did Nicodemus believe? Well, we see some action towards the end, so we think probably he did. But we go to the next chapter in John, we've got somebody very different from Nicodemus. We've got the moral Jewish Pharisee in chapter 3. In chapter 4, we've got the Samaritan woman who had had 5 husbands and was living with a man who was not her husband. And the Lord Jesus spoke to her. Did she believe? How do you know? We know she believed because she ran into the town and told the men and said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Isn't this the Christ? She believed. And afterwards, other people said, now we believe. Not because of what you said, but we've heard him ourselves. But we can tell that that woman believed because we could see what she did. Wouldn't it be absurd if we said there was a young man who was a Pharisee, his name was Saul. Saul hated the Christians. Saul wanted to throw all the Christians in jail. One day, Saul was traveling from Jerusalem to Damascus, and on the road, the Lord appeared to him in a bright light and spoke to him. And he heard the Lord Jesus, and he believed the Lord Jesus. And then he went into Damascus and started to arrest all the Christians and throw them in jail. That wouldn't happen, would it? That'd be crazy. When the Lord appeared to Paul, it completely changed his life. It changed the direction. And Paul became a different man. He acted differently. He did differently. And this is the point that James is making so strongly and so clearly. You cannot believe in the Lord Jesus and stay the same. You cannot believe in the Lord Jesus and live as if you live just like the people who don't believe in him. That would be that's called an empty faith, a faith that doesn't act, a faith that doesn't live. A useless faith, not faith at all. Love that doesn't actually do something for somebody is not real love. Faith that doesn't change the way you live is not real faith. Is that not true? It's so plainly true. We all know that. This is one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus gave us baptism. He gave us baptism because the first thing that a person was to do when they believed in the Lord was to take action, go and do something. And what they were to do was to go and be baptized. Nobody's going to be baptized if they don't believe. And by taking that action, they were showing, this is what my life is going to be from now on. What? Because I believe, I'm going to do something. I'm going to act. My belief is going to change my behavior. I'm not going to be the same person. It sets that baptism, the idea of the baptism is it sets a principle of obedience to him, of listening to him, of learning from him, and changing because of him. That's what's there. So we can see James is telling us something very... why does he even have to say this? He has to say it because at this time, right up to today, there are lots of people who'll put their hand up and say, I believe, but you can't see it. There's no life change. There's no action that reflects it. Why should somebody have to tell me they believe? Why can't I see it? We should be able to see it in their life, in how they behave, in how they live their day-to-day life, in how they speak, in their values, in everything. Everything gets impacted by this faith. So that's James' message. Is it a simple one? It's a very simple one. Anybody can understand. Faith has to be real. It acts. We can think in our own circumstances. What about me? Are you thinking about you? What about you? Do you believe? Do you feel that you're living that sort of a life that really is different? The people who live with you, your parents, your wife, your husband, your children, do they look at you and say, yep, his faith is real, her faith is real? Because they see it? That's the issue. And that's the way it should be. Our faith must be real because the Lord is real. And because the importance of knowing him and walking with him is so great. It matters so much. And we are offered so much in our life that to neglect it and to live a foolish and a selfish life and a hypocritical life, to be an actor, so silly, so wrong. Let us pray. Lord, we don't want to be actors. We don't want to be pretenders. We don't want to have empty faith, useless faith, dead faith. Lord, you are wonderful, you are glorious, and you've called us to put our trust in you and to pursue you and to follow you. So, Lord, we pray that you would be working in each of us, that all of us would take your promises and really get hold of them. Lord, we pray that you would work in us, all of us, and help us to encourage one another. We're not so strong, but with our little bit of strength, we can follow you and we can become stronger. Make it so. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.